This is an extract from the Nature podcast. For the full show, head to nature.com/nature/podcast.
From the iron in your blood to the silicon in your computer, the universe is filled with atoms that were made in stars. For the heavier elements, huge amounts of energy were needed to make them, specifically the energy released when some stars die.
Stars live like humans. They don't live endless. They die, and those massive stars at the time of their death create extremely spectacular explosions.
This is Hans Thomas Janker. He's a physicist working on a decades-old astronomical mystery. Why do certain stars end their lives in dramatic supernova explosions? And there's a lot of physics involved in unravelling this mystery.
Nuclear physics, hydrodynamics, general relativity, elementary particle physics.
One elementary particle that's thought to be very important is the neutrino, a tiny particle which interacts with matter only very weakly, but could be vital for driving the supernova explosions. To test this and to understand the rest of the complex physics involved in a supernova, astrophysicists have turned to simulations. This is a serious computational challenge, as Thomas explained when I gave him a call. So, Thomas, how hard is it to create a model supernova?
So if we wanted to have the answer of how a star explodes and we had only a desktop computer available, we would have to calculate 8,000 years. So we have to go to massively parallel supercomputers, and to get the answer for one star, whether it explodes, how it explodes, when it explodes, we still need to compute for at least half a year, sometimes even longer.
So it's almost like you're watching a star explode in very, very slow motion.
Exactly, extreme slow motion. All the physics which leads to explosion takes 1 second, essentially.
So for decades, when people have been trying to model supernova explosions, there just wasn't the computer power available to model it in a detailed manner. And you needed to be able to model the neutrino physics going on inside the star as well, which is thought to be an important part of why they explode. So these recent models must be a pretty big deal, even if they do take half a year to run.
The big breakthrough, which was possible a couple of years ago, some 5 years ago from now, was that we for the first time could do these simulations in three dimensions. And with the first generation of models that we started in that of this new generation of three-dimensional models, we did not find explosions, at least not for the first models we tried. And that led to the conclusion that either we explore the wrong stars, that we don't look at the right conditions, or what maybe also the problem is that we are missing some crucial ingredients still in the modeling.
So people were really expecting that now these new models would be able to reveal the inner workings there. And I guess the fact that they then didn't explode is sort of missing the key element of what makes a supernova a supernova.
Absolutely. Not obtaining explosions, of course, was a big disappointment and created some desperation. And people already thought that maybe the neutrino-driven mechanism is not the right explanation at all.
And it must be quite frustrating to have to wait so long between each experiment to see if the latest one is going to work. But you and other teams did manage to reach a point where your simulations did explode. You tweaked some of the neutrino physics and the model stars did go supernova. Does that mean that the physics is now accurate? You kind of solved it all and these simulations represent reality?
Well, I think at the moment, I personally would be willing to only draw one conclusion from these simulations. Namely, that I think they support the idea of the ordinary supernova explosions, the majority of supernova explosions being driven by neutrino energy deposition. That is what we call the neutrino-driven explosion mechanism. Still, we have not been able to produce many explosions. There's a handful, or maybe let's say in total around the globe, so far roughly, let's say, a dozen of three-dimensional simulations with good or very good neutrino transport, which shows explosions. So in order to really arrive at the point of saying the models are now converged, everybody agrees, we need more models and we need the comparisons of modeling efforts by different groups.
And are there still things you can learn from astronomy and observations of actual supernovae in space?
Of course we can. I mean that is the crucial test for our models. We need to compare the model predictions to observations.
And I know that a lot of astronomers are
hoping to be able to observe a supernova in our galaxy, or one that's close enough to get way more information on than we get from the many, many very distant supernovae that we observe. What impact would that have on your models?
So that is really, I would say, a dream for an astronomer and for an astrophysicist such as myself working on supernovae, that we had a galactic supernova. I mean, in this case, of course, we would not only have one just in front of our door, probably observable from the very first moment, we would also get signals which we have not had so far, gravitational waves. Because of these turbulent and mixing processes in the supernova core, gravitational wave emission will take place. And also, of course, we hope that we will get, we are sure, we are confident that we will get a neutrino signal which is measured with high precision, which comes directly from the core of the supernova. So direct evidence of what is going on in the supernova core when the explosion begins.
That was Hans-Thomas Janke of the Max Planck Institute of Physics in Garching talking to Sharmini Bandel.